The following Women's Spaces show was recorded Monday, April 28, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, oh my goodness, all those titles, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Oh boy, we are live here in Santa Rosa. Well, I have a full-packed show today. Joining me on the phone will be Kimberly Kim Caldaway, who is one of the leading organizers for Santa Rosa protests that's happening from May 1st through the 5th. Oh my goodness. The group is called Community United to Resist Fascism. Wow. Community United to Resist Fascism. Put it in simple language. Come together through the community and hold on to our democracy, I would say. And that is very, very important that folks come out. And we're going to talk about all the different protests that are happening. And as always, everything that I say on the air is on www.womenspaces.com. Also, I'm very excited this morning. Joining me in the studio is my dear friend, Nikki Dorn. She is an artist and has for many years advocated for the rights of women and children. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And her and I were very good friends. We have these wonderful, wonderful conversations. And she attended the main protest about 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to have somebody in the studio, particularly a woman, to discuss and to talk about what happened. So we're going to cover that. And I think it's kind of in tune with all these protests that are coming up from May 1st to May 5th. I mean, folks, you're going to be really busy. Well, you know, this is the last show of the month. I can't believe, where in the heck did April go, you know? And we normally do the pledge. So I'm just going to say the pledge really quickly and just to remind people, especially women, how important it is to stand up and that your self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of you. Your self-esteem depends on your relationship with yourself and your higher power. And if anybody wants a card or anything, all they have to do is email me at elainebholtz@gmail.com, and I'm happy to get a card to you with the pledge on it. Or you can go on the Women's Space website, and you can just hit copy, and you can make a copy of the pledge. I'm going to say it one more time. I have to say it many, many times before I come on the air to get me kind of puffed up a little bit, if you know what I mean. It's not easy to continue to talk and to keep expressing yourself, but that pledge just motivates me. So I'm going to say it one more time. Just listen to it. Just take it in. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Man, that gives me the chills when I say that. Well, I have a special announcement, and I hope Ken is ready at the board to play this special song this morning. It's my beautiful daughter, Susan Jensen, is having her birthday today. Actually, she was born April 28, 1964. That was one of the greatest days of my life, when I'll never forget when they put her on my stomach, and I looked at her with those beautiful brown eyes, and I said, oh my God, I have a little girl. So happy birthday, Susan. Susan has and continues to be my inspiration and motivation, and for letting me know that I'm just doing the very best I can. And the most amazing thing about my relationship with her is that I feel so blessed that I lived long enough to see her become a grandmother. And they call her Grandma Suey. She is just wonderful. You know, and like I said, she's been my motivation. You know, I raised her as a single parent, and she inspired me to keep motivated me to keep going, to keep moving forward. So I love you, my dear, sweet daughter, friend. I love you, like you always say, to the moon and back. And I just want to give her a validation. She is a great daughter, wife, mother, grandmother, and friend. And we're playing this song especially for her. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's hit it. This is just for Susan. Go ahead. Yes, happy birthday, Susan. Happy birthday to you. It's just amazing. Well, we are now, here we got.
Hold on, I'd like to speak to Kim Calloway, please.
Okay, we have to redial the number. So let's go into this. Let's go into this segment a little bit different, Ken. We're calling her and we're going to see if she's on. And you know, I think what I'm going to do right now is let's do the pledge together. Do you mind doing it, Nikki? Nikki's with me and she's going to do the pledge. Let's go, Nikki.
Man, I got the wrong number here.
My self-esteem.
Do you have another number?
No, that's the only number I have. Okay, so we have the wrong number, it looks like. It's Ken Caldwell is on the line. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm sorry about this. I don't know. I checked that the number. You called it again, Ken? Ken's going to call it one more time. And what we're going to be talking about with Kim is the Santa Rosa protest from May 1st through the 5th. And it's really a mind-boggling time. And they've picked many, many. So I'm going to go through the list. Let's see if we can get her. Let's see if we're going to get her. Anyway, we talked about the pledge. So I'm going to have Nikki do the pledge with me. So just repeat after me. My self-esteem.
My self-esteem.
Does not depend. On anything.
On anything.
Outside of me.
Outside of me.
My self-esteem.
My self-esteem.
Depends. On my relationship. Okay.
On my relationship
with myself and my higher power.
Well,
it looks like for some reason I have the wrong number, and I checked that number out. Thank you so much, Kim. So I'm going to go through Santa Rosa protests May 1st through the 5th. Now, May 1st from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. is going to be the International Workers' Day March calling for immigrant rights. The May 1st coalition starts at the sheriff's office and marches to downtown, and that's going to be May 1st. Then on May 2nd from 11 a.m. and every Friday, there's a rally to support veterans, VA clinic at 2285 Challenger Way in Santa Rosa. Also, on May 2nd, there's going to be an evening program at the Arlene Francis Center at 99th 6th Street in Santa Rosa. Now, this is one of the most important marches that they are really emphasizing, and that's going to be May 3rd, all-day critical mass and rally. March starting early from multiple locations, joining up at a free speech rally in Juilliard Park. Bring your signs, your friends, your family, and a picnic. Then May 4th, this is very interesting, the Palestine Solidarity Sunday from 2 to 3:30 p.m. on Old Courthouse Square. And from what I understand, they're having this rally every single Sunday. It's called Solidarity Sunday from 2 to 3:30 p.m. on Old Courthouse Square. And then May 5th, there is Cinco de Mayo. And right now, Cinco de Mayo is kind of up in the air, and I'm hoping to get an interview about that because I found out that there might be a cancellation about that. So I'm going to introduce Nikki Doan right now. Nikki, welcome to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for being here. And, you know, when we have these little upsets, I don't know, I checked the phone number 4 times. I don't know how that happened that I had the wrong phone number down there. But you attended the rallies. What was your feeling in general?
Well, thanks for inviting me again, Elaine. I love being here with you and Ken participating in getting the word out for everybody about what they can do to make a difference. I participated in the April 5th rally here in Santa Rosa, and I think it was the 19th, 2 weeks later, again. It was inspiring. It was truly inspiring. You know, it's easy to get depressed these days with all of the news that's coming out and the changes that are taking place, and everybody was excited, and the signs were great. And people were jumping up and down, and there were a lot of cars going by and honking in, you know, unison with us. And I was shocked at how many people were there. I was really, really amazed. The square was full. There were people rallying along 4th Street, along 3rd Street, and It was a time to come together and to feel inspired. I heard it was maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people that day. I don't know how they figure that out. I'd love to be able to figure out how many people attend, because I didn't hear anything about the April 19th, but that we gathered at Juilliard Park. And the signs were even better that day. It turns out that the Democratic Party, I guess it is, on A Street here in Santa Rosa, they're open on afternoons, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for people to come in and help make signs so that they have signs to give out at these rallies. And they really were doing a great job on the signs. I am inspired just to read those.
Well, I feel kind of bad that we, for some reason, we just, the phone number, I don't know how that happened. I mean, it could be my fault, and I apologize, that's for sure. But the thing is that this coalition that came together and planned these from 1 to 5, the 1st of May to the 5th of May, which is a huge undertaking. And I just think it's amazing. It's amazing. And I was hoping when I'm talking with Kim to find out their motivation. Well, of course, our motivation is to secure democracy, to let the folks know that we, the people, are active. So, you know, I you've had your own challenges, and yet you're still out in these protests. What is your motivation for going? I mean, what all of a sudden said, I have to be there?
Oh, not all of a sudden, Elaine. I've been on this boat since I was a teenager, you know, in the 50s and 60s when there was the Vietnam War, Women's Lib, the Free Love Movement. And I lived in the Midwest in a college town, fortunately. And I just jumped on that bandwagon early on. And I believe strongly that it was a good move to break from the strict traditions that we had, a hierarchical, patriarchal system within our families, within our government, and in our society. And I've just felt that so strongly ever since I was a kid. Yeah.
Well, you talk, you know, one of the things I do, I want to tell my listeners, is what I do is I have my guests send me 5 questions. So they let me know what motivates them. And you said something very interesting. One of your questions you talked about, you said ever since you became a protester, ever since you were 3 years old, because of your relationship with your mother. So what was that all about?
Gosh, you know, I think this was in my blood, apparently. My family was probably no different than most of the families in the Midwest in the 50s and the 60s, where the father ruled the roost. We were not to talk unless we were spoken to. And it was just, I had two sisters and my mother. So my father was the only male in the family. And we didn't have much power. We didn't have much say in that family. My father was, let me just say, not nice.
Well, let's say a little dominating.
A little dominating, right. You might say. And
not to put men down, but this was the role.
It was the what everybody knew
exactly
at that time, and absolutely. So I would stand up for my mother, and I would speak up for her because she didn't seem to be capable of speaking up for herself, and I got in so much trouble. Oh my goodness. But that didn't stop me, you know, because I did believe that we should be treated with kindness and respect, and that we have contributions to make. And, I've been willing to put that out there from an early age. I was the only one in the family doing it, but I did it.
Well, you know, it's like we're sitting across from each other, you know, and when I hear you, I feel the same way, because I was like the black sheep in the family because I was always speaking out. And on my report card, they even said, Elaine should understand that children should be seen and not heard from kindergarten. Well, hey, look at here I am on the radio. So, you know, that didn't work on me, but it was what was at the time. It really was. And mm-hmm. I interviewed a woman by the name of Elaine Rock, who wrote the book about Dusty Rose, who turned the airline industry around for women, you know, allowed them to wear pants, to speak out, to be unionized. And in her book, She has like 22 things that women could not do until 1970. One of them was you couldn't get a credit card. And I remember when I went to get birth control, my first husband had to sign for me. And I was so humiliated when the doctor sent me home with this piece of paper that Richard had to sign. I said, well, why can't I sign it? Well, this is the law. You know, and we're almost going back to that law. So I think it's very interesting that we're sitting here, two women that really went through the 60s. And you went through it at a younger age than I did, because I went back to school when I was 30. And I believed in everything. I mean, I thought America could do no wrong. You know, I'm only a first generation on my father's side. He was born in Poland. And to all of a sudden to wake up to the war was unjust. It was very, 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 very disheartening. So it sounds like you had it in your DNA to kind of stand up. So we're going to take a little musical break here. And folks, I'm going to play a song. And this is an amazing song. I'm going to let this whole song go. It's called African Women. And Ken, can you, how do you pronounce the name of the singer? I had a hard time with that one. What's the name of the person that's singing it? But anyway,
Ljubljana.
Ljubljana is her name, and oh my God, what a song! And it starts out, you know, they've interpreted it English, and I think they had another language that they started out with. It starts out as African Woman is the name of it. This is the English translation, and it starts out like this: to our daughters, to our sisters, to our mothers, you are stronger than you know. And that's the whole thing around the pledge, that it gives you that strength. Your self-esteem doesn't depend on anything outside of you. It depends on your relationship with yourself. Like the theme song says, the woman in your life is you. You got to learn to listen and to pay attention to your intuition. Men, women are, it says right here, you're stronger than you know. Because we hold in our bodies the secret of life. We create life. We bring forth life. We bring forth those beautiful little babies that we're all oohing and aahing over. And it becomes our responsibility. When you become a mother, in my mind, you become a mother of all children. Why do I say that? Because if one child is in harm's way, all children. I mean, we're seeing it right now where they're starting to pick up American citizens off the street. Come on. You know, we have to sit. We have to really get out there. We the people is at the beginning of the Constitution, and that is the only way we change things. And I remind you what Margaret Meyer said, the anthropologist, never underestimate the power of one person. Imagine a coalition like this coalition that has worked effortlessly. And volunteers. These are all volunteers. These are not paid people. To organize, we need to show up just out of respect to them, plus the idea of holding on to our democracy. So let's go ahead and play African Woman.
That's the title.
It's called Labinia.
No, Farafina Musso.
Farafina Musso. Oh, but Ken loves to help me pronounce names. Ken, give up. Just give up on me. I'm sorry. So let's go ahead and let's play that whole song. And then when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Nikki Doan. And I will tell you more, a little bit more about her. So let's go ahead, Ken.
If the earth is a woman, if the sea is a woman, if the moon is a woman, I know God is a woman. If a man needs a woman by his side, a superwoman. If we all love a woman, then shall we respect all women, not us, sisters, mothers, warriors, Farafina Musso. You're stronger than you know. Since we came from a woman who gave it all for her children, if the souls are from heaven, then shall we protect our women. May we treat them right. May we see their fights. May we raise their
Wow, what a song, African woman. And I want to repeat this. If the earth is a woman, if the sea is a woman, if the moon is a woman, I know God is a woman. If a man needs a woman by his side, a superwoman, if we all love a woman, when shall we respect our women? So anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And I'll tell you, every once in a while, we have a little bit of technical difficulty. But joining me this morning in the studio is my dear friend, Nikki Dorn. Welcome, Nikki.
Doan.
Oh, like donut. Oh, God. Okay. I give in. Nikki Doan, welcome here to Women's Spaces.
Oh, thanks again, Elaine. Thank you. And I know thinking of donut will always help you with my name.
I'm telling you. I am so sorry. Well, you know, I just, for folks just joining us, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, the board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce again my first guest. Joining me in the studio here is Nikki Doan. Welcome, Nikki. And is it okay if I tell our listeners just a little bit about you?
Of course.
Well, Nikki, this bio, you know, I had Nikki write a bio for me, and it sounds like she really struggled. But it was wonderful because I got to know a little bit about her a little bit more. So let me just tell you, Nikki's diverse experience arrived from her curiosity and a quest to see truth, justice, peace, human rights, sustainability, and love manifest for all mankind. What a beautiful thought this is. This large order has demanded a variety in terms of jobs and careers. What were some of the jobs and careers that you embarked upon?
So different, you know, Elaine. Obviously, some of them were briefer periods of time than others. I spent a summer on a fishing boat in the Atlantic fishing for shrimp. I've been on a redwood tree crew. I've sold real estate. I'm an astrologer. I've been in administration, and I couldn't believe it when I sat down to think about it. I never had before and counted them. All over the place. I think.
And you know, you had three marriages, and my hat goes off to you because I've had several relationships. I never married again. I married once, and then I've been with Ken, and I've been together for almost 30 years now. So I mean, that I finally got mature enough to where I could have a long relationship. But that was so typical. It felt like as women, we were constantly thinking if we found that perfect man or that perfect relationship, we would be secure.
Absolutely.
You know, and women don't recognize that we have, you know, especially young women, they don't recognize how far we've come and how far they're trying to take us back.
True. I know. I've been actually single since I was 36, so I didn't go back to that type of commitment at any rate, but found my beloved many years later, yeah.
Yes, our friend Timothy.
Yeah.
You know, just made his transition.
Last June.
You know, so that's been, hello, Timothy, if you're listening. I can somehow sometimes feel he's always on my shoulder.
I absolutely do. I do, too.
Well, also, what do you think, you know, at that time, when I start thinking back at it, what do you think? What was giving us the courage? I don't know what it was. I know it was. It grew out of the civil rights, because once women saw the civil rights movement, you know, going forward, and then all of a sudden, well, where's our rights? You know, but what do you think prompted you to think outside the box? I mean, you had one upbringing, but yet you're moving in another direction. The same thing happened to me.
I think I felt driven, Elaine. I don't even feel I had a choice in the matter. It was just something that had to be done. And, I didn't make a choice. I just had the courage. Well, I look at that astrologically, having been an astrologer all these years, too. As an Aries, we're just kind of the warriors, and we don't always think before we act. We just do things.
So. Well, I'm the end of the zodiac. I'm Pisces, and you're the beginning. So, you know, but Aries, that's very interesting, because I consider Aries like the child of the zodiac. It's like his eyes are always wide open, like, where can we go? Where can we heal? But you did mm-hmm. you did talk about that you were very much involved in not only physical healing, but spiritual healing.
Oh, early on again, there was so much interest in the Eastern religions at the time. The Beatles in particular probably inspired me to some extent. I followed Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda from the time I was a teenager, and had some personal experiences that really made me believe in the fact that our universe is inspired to improve, evolve, and become more loving. I do believe that.
Well, I do too. And I think what happens, it was very, very interesting. Last week I had a Native American from the Tao tribe. And she's the head of the executive director of the Siskel Intertribal Council. And one of the things she said that I thought was so inspiring to me, she says that we forget that we live in this magical universe. You know, that we're in the middle of a universe running around on this planet. You know, we don't fall off. And it really got me thinking, you know, why don't we... Maybe if we appreciate it a little bit more, when you're talking about mm-hmm. the physical healing with the spiritual, maybe part of the healing is recognizing where we are and who we are.
Oh, we're so intimately connected, aren't we, with our environment, with our locale, with our society, you know, our friends, our families, all of that, I think, has everything to do with our mental, emotional, and physical health. We're impacted by all of it, and we interact with it. We try to make the most of it and protect all of that. I agree with you, Elaine, what you said earlier, so much about being a mother gives us the absolute responsibility to care for future generations, our children and all of the children, including the earth that supports us all.
Well, there's a song, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. And I always say, the earth is our mother, united all are we. And it's interesting, in the song that I played, this song that we played before we came back, it says here, you're stronger than you know. You know, I think to myself, and I think of my own daughter as a grandmother, you know, another generation coming up, and then you see the process. It's like when you become more the observer, you know, I'm now the great grandmother, you become more the observer, you really see the struggle it is to bring in life, you know, the pregnancy, the emotions, and, you know, I mean, the first 3 months when you're throwing up all over the place, you know, all these things that happen to us as women. And then at the same time, They take away our, they're trying to take away our power, but you can't. You cannot take away that power. So I think I think it's very, very interesting. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about the protest, and now we have this coalition coming.
Right.
You know, and I mean, the work they put into this is just amazing. You know, I know my dear friend Carol Bloom was I want to do a shout out to Carol Bloom and to all the group that pulled this together. I mean, it was just amazing. Here they're going to have 5 days of protesting. And also, when you start thinking about this past election, you know, 13 million people did not vote. You know, and by your silence or by your not voting, you're saying, hey, go do whatever you want. You know, and that we have to realize that democracy takes a lot of self-responsibility. So what are your thoughts about that? I mean, here you go, 5 days. I mean, how do you feel about this? What is it? What inspires you here?
Well, I wanted you to repeat again the name of this coalition. I thought that was wonderful.
Community United to Resist Fascism.
Exactly, exactly. Well, it seems we've worked ourselves into a crescendo of incompetence in terms of taking care of the citizens of this country. and the world by extension. And I'm thrilled. I mean, I think the most important thing about these rallies is the excitement that it generates and the attention that it's beginning to get, even in mainstream media to some extent. And I know that so many people are affected currently who've lost their jobs and lost their rights and who are being deported. I think there will be more and more and more people who will wake up to the fact that they need to be involved and participatory in our government and get out and vote.
Well, yeah. That's one thing. I was talking to a friend of mine. They said, well, what is so important about this? And I said, the most important thing is that people become aware and know that we do have a vote. That is what democracy is all about, that we can go to the polls and we can vote. But, of course, we have Citizens United and all this money influence that has to be kind of set aside. But that's when the people start standing up. And I was listening to, I think it was Senator Grassley is his name, and he is a Southerner. And let me tell you something, he was so supportive of everything that this new
Midwest.
Pardon, he's from the Midwest. You know, he was so supportive of everything that was happening, and all of a sudden he met with his constituents. I saw the meeting on Facebook, meeting with his constituents. I mean, this is 91-year-old man. All of a sudden is being educated, and next thing you know, he's on the air saying, hey, wait a minute. So it shows to have swung somebody like him to start coming out against this stuff, it to me was showed the power of we the people.
Oh boy, I agree with you. I heard someone comment that there seems to be a bubble in Washington, D.C., where they're not aware of what their constituents are thinking. They're not aware of what's happening in the lives of the majority of people in this country. And the fact that a few of them, not enough yet, in my opinion, are responding is encouraging. And it just one person at a time builds the strength. I think it's absolutely strength in numbers.
Well, also, May 3rd, it seems to me this May 3rd is an all-day critical mass in Raleigh, march starting from multiple locations. So what you need to do, what folks need to do, and like I said, everything is on www.womenspaces.com. We even have it already listed. Pardon?
And also peace and justice.
Yeah, but the thing is that if you want more information, you can call the Peace and Justice Center at 707-575-8902. And I know sometimes people are not there, but they're really good. If you leave a message, they will call you back. I mean, I've had that experience with them. And if you want to check more about what's going on with the Santa Rosa protest from May 1st to the 5th, which is, again, Community United to Resist Fascism, I say Community United to make sure we don't lose our democracy, which is actually what's happening. And I love they have they have the synonym CURF, CURF. So I think, hoof. That's what I've done. And so their website is peace at PJCSOCO. That's PEACE at PJCSOCO.org. And like I said, all this information, if you miss it while we're talking, is all going to be on womenspaces.com. So when you say that, you know, you've been an astrologer for all this time. So I have to throw this little curveball to you. I believe, especially I remember when I first saw hair. You know, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars. And then, I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I think that it had such an impact on me because at that time to see a group of body of people in a major play up there naked was just astounding to me. I mean, what a time that was. I mean, people don't realize what a time the 60s and 70s were.
It was. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right.
Too. Jesus,
remember
right. that? Yeah.
Right. And then all these Jesuses coming. I mean, if I was Jesus up in heaven, I'd say, hey, I'm not coming down to those guys. Look what they did to me in the 60s. But, you know, what is your thought as an astrologer about coming into Aquarius? Because I feel Pisces, I mean, when you look at the era of Pisces, it's nothing but wars and domination, all kinds of different things. And now we're supposed to be coming into the peace level, and yet everything just feels so stirred up.
Oh, yes. Well, astrologers have been talking about this era for some time because so many of the outer planets that rule mass events and global movements are changing sign right now, not just Pluto going into Aquarius, but Neptune is moving from Pisces into Aries, and Uranus has been moving along from Taurus, with very staid, traditional sorts of things, into Gemini now, which is, it's almost in a couple of days, Uranus will be there. That's all about communication and finding different solutions and different ways to go about solving problems. Uranus is, honestly, you know, has a lot to do with chaos, but it represents the people. It represents the people. So in order to change, we have, obviously, to do it on a very deep level, and it takes a lot of people. It takes chaos. It's like organizing a closet, you know. You have to take everything out and make a big mess in order to get it back in order again, speaking as a mother and a woman. But I think the chaos is just a sign that we're able to take a deeper look. And the astrology has been pointing to this for some time. The astrology would say, we're in the crux of it. We're definitely in the eye of the hurricane at this moment in time. And it will lead, obviously, to great change. And I think it depends upon the masses of people to move it in a positive direction.
You know, and also I think that another thing that I feel on some levels is that people are always looking for this superstar is going to save them, you know, like we're going to make changes, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. And the reality is that we have to pay attention. And those 13 million people that did not vote, they need to vote. I mean, it's so important. I actually, when someone is complaining to me, I always ask them, did you vote? And if they say no, then I just say, well, I'll ask them maybe, well, how come? And they'll give me some sort of, and I say, you know something, if you don't vote, if you don't pay attention, what are you complaining about? You know, you have to participate, and this is a very important participation because, you know, they say, oh, your vote doesn't count, but yet they go to great lengths to limit how you, I mean, right now they have this thing, I think it's called the SAVE, the SAVE initiative, where a woman has, you have to show your driver's license and your birth certificate, and they have to match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fortunately, I changed mine back to my maiden name. So if I went to the polls, well, here it is. If my daughter went to the polls, her driver's license says Jensen, but her birth certificate says Pine.
That's very frightening to me. And I understand that women can present their passport, but obviously not every woman has a passport, and they have to jump through a lot of hoops and pay a significant price to get a passport to vote.
And this is what they're...
That's a tax.
So for something that doesn't count, they're certainly going a long way to make it count. Well, you know, we're talking about protests. We're talking about getting out on the street, which is very important. But what are some other things that you think that people need to do and be able to stand up and also to recognize the fear factor?
Oh, good that you're addressing fear, because it's just such a commonplace emotion with, I think, virtually everybody I know, certainly myself, trying to be calm and recognize the humanity that we see across the table from us, across the street from us, that we have so much in common, and everyone has interests that are being affected that we agree on. You know, I don't think it matters whether we're Republicans, Democrats, or independents. We have so many issues on which we agree, the basics, safety, and our welfare. I think we've come to a point of complacency in this country, don't you think, where we take for granted everything the federal government and the state and local government provide for us. We just kind of take it for granted and don't feel that we have to vote and to make those things happen. But now it's coming to our awareness.
But also the thing that also kind of blows me away more than anything is when I see when I see a lot of women standing up and agreeing with what's going on, or like some of the false news, that some of the things that come across, and if in my mind, I think that we have to continually remind each other of whose shoulders we're standing on and what it took for us to get where we're going, or where we got to, and what we've lost. I mean, I was thinking about Citizens United. That I really had this interesting thought. I was thinking of some of the justices. There were certain things they didn't report. Mm-hmm. There were certain gifts that they got that we didn't report. And I don't know why they don't go back to Citizens United and kind of explore it to say, how was this decision made? I mean, I can't believe that they would even come to the conclusion that money equals free speech. Mm-hmm. Because if everybody had an equal amount of money in their bank account, then I would say, okay, yes. But it's not that way. We have the very wealthy that are contributing millions, and we have people that can't even put food on their table. So there's got to be, and folks, it's interesting. I just need to throw this in. I just had this thought that just went across my mind. Criticism is not negative. Criticism doesn't mean that you want to overthrow something, or criticism is very important. Mm-hmm. I have people that listen to the show and give me a critique. I want them to criticize me. I want them to let me know what they think. Ken criticize. He evaluates. He's trying to help me pronounce names. I mean, give up, Ken. But anyway, the point is that we all have to give ourselves permission and to overcome the fear, because we have to look at what's at stake. Mm. So what are some ideas you had? You talked about your being on spiritual and physical healing. How, on a spiritual level, how do you think that people can help overcome their fear, and then even on a practical level?
Well, I think going back to that commonality with the people that we meet wherever we go in our day-to-day life, and having conversations, whether it's just, it doesn't have to be about these issues, does it? It can just be, how are your children, or, what do you think about the grocery prices, and start up conversations in that way and find commonality. I think that's very calming. I personally listen to music, go outside in nature, and have ultimate faith that we are moving in a positive direction. Now, I could be wrong, but it makes me happy to believe that.
Well, we're going to take a little musical break now, and I love this song. This song is it's called the Resistance Rival Chorus, right?
It's Ella's song,
We Who Believe in Freedom. So let's go ahead and play that, and then we'll come back, and we're going to continue our conversation with activist Nikki Dorn.
Dorn.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
Until the killing of black.
believe in freedom, and we will not rest, and the woman's voice, you will be heard. Well, I want to do some shout-outs before I come back here, and I want to do a shout-out to, first of all, the Coalition on the Community United to Risk Fascism, that they created this 5 days of action and protest. It's just amazing. I want to do a shout-out. These are dear friends of mine. Robert Latham, I want to do a shout-out to her. Also to June Berchers, who always helps me get phone numbers. My Susan Lamont, who effortlessly works constantly getting all the information out there. And, of course, the Peace and Justice Center for opening their doors so people can have meetings and people can get together and talk and work out things like this. So I just wanted to do a shout out for them.
At the Arlene Francis Center
too, for heaven's sakes. I mean, there's so much going on in our community and communities across the globe, and a big shout out to all the people that overcome their fear and get out there and stand up. And what are we standing up for? We're standing up for democracy. We're standing up to make sure we continue to have the right to vote, that we continue to have a voice, that women continue to have a choice. So it's an amazing time, and we need to take advantage of it. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I have here activist Nikki Doan, who is talking with me here this morning. We're talking about protests and ways to get involved and all the different ideas. And what I do is I have my guests send me 5 questions, and there's this one very interesting question that Nikki sent to me, and here's what the question is. If you could choose 3 words or concepts that encourage feelings of calm, strength, joy, and resolve on a daily basis, what would that be? That's a very interesting question to me.
What can I do today to affect change? How can I do one thing to help another person? And, you know, I hadn't thought about the answers to this, Elaine. So I guess I'm off the cuff here, absolutely. I would say...
Go for it.
I would say, how can I experience love for everyone I encounter today that I would experience for a newborn child?
Well, that's an amazing thought. You know, what would mm-hmm. I do for a new... bring it further, what would I do if that was my child? When mm-hmm. I was very involved with the Andy Lopez situation here in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
And I went in front of the Board of Supervisors, and the one question I asked, what would you expect of your leaders to do if this were your child or your grandchild or, like mm-hmm. myself, your great-grandchild? And it was almost like silence. It was like... I don't think people recognize that everything, if you know, Eugene Debs, who was, he ran under the Socialist Workers Party when he was for president way back in the 30s.
Yeah.
And what he said was, as long as there is one man in jail, I am not free. And that is the way we have to look at it. If there's one person or one culture or mm-hmm. whatever is being oppressed, that can happen to any one of us. That's why we have to keep it going. Well, and then how do you see family and community supporting the social change? You know, and what if we don't make the changes, what kind of future do you see?
Well, I wanted to go back for just a moment to your question about how do you combat fear. And I would say, you know, one of the most important things for me is to take some action every day in terms of calling my representatives or reaching out to other people, having conversations about the issues of the day, going to a rally, all of these things, getting on call, you know, calling voters, texting voters, and that helps combat fear for me as well.
But also, I think when you become involved, it really solves a great social issue that people don't, you know, we hardly know our neighbors. You know, one of the things that I've talked about in the show in the past mm-hmm. is I say, get to know your neighbors. Get to know the block you live on. Get to know all your surroundings. You know, at mm-hmm. least those are steps. Say hello to somebody, maybe a smile, you know, make a phone call.
Yeah.
Go to a rally, you know, make a contribution. There's so many things that we can do. And, you know, one of the things, another thing that happens to me, I get an email, oh, you're just a socialist, or you're just this or that. And I say, wait a minute. I'm just a humanist. You know, I believe in humanity. I believe in taking care of the children. What a big concept to feed all the children. I mean, we're running around saving the fetus. Once it comes out, you know, it needs to eat. And don't you realize that? It needs to eat and drink water. It needs to live in a house. So So go ahead, answer that question. How do you think immunity can support all these different? What's a good thing they can do to maybe inspire themselves?
Well, I would like to see a level playing field, as you talked about Citizens United, because I think about that quite often, and I was very disappointed when Biden was in the presidency and the Democrats had the House and the Senate, that they did not address Citizens United, because seems to me that should be a very big priority, because with equaling that playing field, that we can begin to address all these other issues, in my mind.
Well, there's a big shift going on. There really is. Mm-hmm. Well, Nikki, we've come to the end of our segment. We only have about 4 minutes left, so how can people get a hold of you? Any last words, anything you'd like to say? It's your time. And I want to let once again to people to remember that there's going to be this big protest from May 1st to the 5th to go and check it out at the Peace and Justice Center website and also on Women's Spaces website. We'll have all the information. And the most important thing is to be there. You know, some of us have disabilities right now. I know for myself, I used to show up at all the protests. I just can't come out right now. But we can do other things. We can make phone calls. We can encourage our friends. So last words, Nikki, or any website, any place that people can get a hold of you, or I know you have a lot of art. You're doing some beautiful, those mandalas were just gorgeous.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I kind of take a back seat. I kind of like work behind the scenes, I guess you would say. I've divested myself of websites, thank goodness. I try to have an influence in the communities that I'm involved in, personally, as a grandmother, you know, and a community member. I'm so grateful to be in Sonoma County, West County especially. I love the progressive nature of the county.
So you mentioned you're a mother. How many children do you have?
I only have one. I have two granddaughters. They're both teenagers now. And this is all so important for them coming of age and for them to get involved and understand what they need to do to participate and allow themselves to have hope for the future, because they are involved in making it happen. Yeah.
Well, Nikki, I want to thank you so much for being part of this show and for sharing your feelings and your experience at the protest, and also addressing the fear. You know, the idea that, you know, we're all afraid. Even our officials. I mean, fear. You know, the opposite of fear is faith.
Yeah.
The first letter in fear is F. Then in order to overcome it, you have to faith that you do have the power. Just like that song at the beginning when we played the African woman, it says, you have no idea the power that we have within ourselves and the power collectively that we come together. And what I like about the protests is that they can't say it's always black, it's white, it's this and that, it's old, it's young. It's a combination of everybody coming together. Mm-hmm. And I think that the youth sees when we come out, because we've had the experience of the 60s and the 70s, that it's really important. So thank you so much for being on the air with me.
Thank you. It's a blessing to be here with you. Thanks, Elaine.
Well, it really is. Well, folks, that's it for our show. You know, a special thank you to my dear friend Nikki Doan for being a great guest and for giving us her potential perspective and for just showing up for the interview. It's amazing. And to all my friends out there who are preparing this massive protest that's going to happen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for going through all this energy and effort to go ahead and do it. And like I do at the end of every show, I remind my listeners that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. I'm going to be a great grandmother for the third time. My beautiful granddaughter, Caitlin Jensen Elliott, is going to be having her child, a little boy. And when I think about that, I think, oh, my God, no wars, no draft, all the different things that come as a great-grandmother. And I say to myself, well, by my silence, I give my consent. And guess what? I don't give my consent. So that's why you hear me talking on the air. And it's very important that we recognize our children are the future. And we must secure that future. Anyway, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 28th, 2025.